Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you are listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 102.5 WFLA. Now in studio, your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And we also have Vlad Ivashko this morning, another one of our teammates. Welcome back, Vlad.
Good morning, everybody.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how this program works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we've got lots of great things to go over today and how to sell faster in 2018. Some design and staging tips that you can actually take to heart, and we'll start with those as well as nice. What's going on with the interest rate and all that kind of thing. And so we've got lots of good stuff to talk about, and might as well just hop right in here. The market's doing really well, and the market's very consistent. The interest rates are going up a little bit, mm-hmm. which we'll talk a little bit about later. But that means that your affordability goes down a little bit. But I did see something that said that the rates actually dipped this week. So that means it's still a good time to buy and time to jump in there before they go up, because the indications are that they might go up further. So how to sell faster, design and staging tips. And when it comes to design and staging, you know, really, it does make a difference between your house being chosen yep. versus somebody else's home being chosen. And you can also make thousands of dollars more, because if your house looks like it's in disrepair, people are going to imagine that a lot of things are in disrepair. So they're going to give a lot lower price when they make an offer to you. So the first thing that we talk about are the basics, which are cleaning your home. And this is really critical when you're doing that, because, you know, it's like, just as over time, I mean, we kind of go blind sometimes to what's going on in your house and some mm-hmm. stuff that you might not clean out. And you might think, well, nobody's going to look underneath the sink. Yeah, people look underneath the sink. They open up the cabinets. They open up the
closets.
Closets. They open up the
pantry,
the refrigerator. Oh, yes. You know, I mean, it's like, and you think, well, why are they opening up the refrigerator? Well, if it's going to be their refrigerator, they're looking at it to yeah. see how much room is in there and that kind of stuff. Exactly. So if it's like jam-packed and can't fit another thing, they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to fit my stuff in here. And it's the same thing with closets and those mm-hmm. kinds of things too. It's like, and when you see a closet, which I haven't seen a whole lot of them, but it struck me, obviously, because I remember that I saw this closet that everything was actually 1 inch away from the next hanger. I mean, the hangers were perfect.
Perfect.
And so it was like 1 inch in between each one, and it was very color-coded, and it was like all the shirts were here. And
everything was ironed.
That's my goal.
That's everybody's goal.
Yeah, and that's not really what you see in most closets, but you know, seeing them jam packed is not exactly what you want to see. So at least if you can see breathing room and maybe the ability to fit another hanger would be your best bet. But you know, it's like, and when you go to the bottle houses, they have a few things in there to mm-hmm. show that, you know, the closet holds quite a few things, even if it's just an empty bag from a store or something like that. But cleaning, you know, it comes down to, you know, sometimes in the bathtubs in the corner, you know, it gets little spots and that kind of stuff. So just having those things cleaned up.
A little moldy over there.
Well, it can be. So you want to make sure that that stuff gets ready. And this is, you know, upgraded, because it says you need to be Instagram ready.
And Instagram ready.
Because, you know, what does happen probably is that the buyers do come in there, and they, if it's a house that they like, I was with somebody yesterday and we were looking at this property, and there were plenty of pictures online and everything, but he said, I want to take my own pictures. So he took his own pictures of everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know that he posted them or not, but the bottom line is that you want to be ready for him to post it, because it's like, if he's like, hey, there's this Grace house that I'm thinking of buying or something like that, you know, it's free advertisement for your house. So it's like all the little corners and all the little things that happen. So with that, are the dramatic color accents. Sometimes those are good and sometimes they're bad. You know, when they're done in the color schemes of today, they sometimes look good. And then a lot of times people just don't like them.
Recently, I went out with a buyer and we came to a very nice home in a very nice neighborhood. But all of the walls were painted in really odd colors, which did not match whatsoever. And the color palette just was a total turndown, and you cannot do nothing about it.
No, and it is just paint, and it really wouldn't be any big deal for them to, you know, for a new owner to paint over it or anything like that. But it's like almost too daunting for the people. They think, oh my gosh, this is too much work, and it's never going to look that way. Some people can imagine, and other people just can't.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Vlad Ivashko, another one of my teammates. And if you want to reach any of us, you can just call 407-566-2555. So the other thing is light and bright. And I know that some people like to keep their blinds closed and everything, but if you're selling your house, my suggestion is keep them open.
Mm-hmm.
Because you probably don't know because you don't necessarily go into foreclosure homes, but a lot of times when the banks do own the homes, the first thing that they do is they take down all the window treatments. And so even if they're in perfect condition and all that kind of stuff and the blinds, they just take them off. And the whole reason that they do that is because it lets the natural light in. And so any house that you go into looks very light and bright and those kinds of things. And so, you know, you don't even notice that it doesn't have the window treatments on it because you're like thinking, oh, you know, this looks very bright and everything. So even if it means, you know, so my suggestion is always keep them open and everything. And I know that, you know, some sellers think that the realtor is going to get there early and be able to open them all up for you and all that kind of good stuff. And I wouldn't chance that that's going to happen. I mean, in a perfect world, that is going to happen. And many times it does. But I wouldn't chance that that's going to happen. I would definitely, most of the time when you're getting there with a buyer, 90% of the time when I'm getting there with a buyer, I'm there with the buyer alone. And when I get there, I'm getting there at the same time. I mean, I'm open up at the door. We're going to several houses. So it's not like I can get there early because I'm coming from the previous house. So keeping the house with, you don't necessarily have to keep the lights on, but definitely keeping the windows and the blinds open makes a huge difference, especially if you've got a lot of them. And it definitely darkens it. And the real interesting thing is that people from Florida, they don't really care too much if it's dark because they have enough sunshine. But if you're looking at somebody who's from another area, they are all about the brightness the light and everything inside the house. And so, you know, just keep that in mind when you're doing that. And the next thing is moody interiors. You know, if natural light isn't readily available, dark charcoal and navy colors can exaggerate the furniture and that kind of stuff. But it really is a turnoff for some people. And I know some people love those dark colors, and that's all well and good. But, you know, there are certain you know, people that don't like any color at all. And if it's anything other than like alabaster white, they think that there's a problem with the house, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's going to take, you know, 10 coats to be able to go over to this to get it back to white and all that kind of stuff. So you just have to, color, I guess, is what we really have to, you know, be aware of. And then two-tone cabinets, you know, upper and lower cabinets being different is something that can create an interesting dynamic in the kitchen. And that must be a new thing because I haven't seen too many of those.
No. Well, I've seen the islands have.
The islands definitely are
a different color.
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
As well, we have another one of our teammates, Vlad Ivashko. Welcome back, Vlad.
Good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So we were talking about two-tone cabinets that we haven't really seen too much of that with the uppers and the lowers being different colors, but we have definitely seen the islands, and that's been around for quite a while that people do that in, you know, the higher-end homes especially where they do the different tone, and sometimes they'll do a different granite on the island and that kind of thing too. And that still is appropriate, but I haven't seen the two-tone cabinet.
No, so. I've seen it on TV on those flipper shows.
Oh, okay.
Is where I've seen it at. But, I mean, some of those, they do some crazy stuff. I mean, I remember one episode they did, like, this blue color was the bottom cabinets, and the cabinets up top were white. I don't know. I couldn't put my head around it. I just didn't think that would be a way to go. So it's, like, a little bit vibrant colors is what it seems like they're going with.
Well, I think so. What that means is that if you want to do something like that, that means that that's going to be your house
and for a long time.
And
that's something that you're looking at selling because the average person isn't into that. So you want to make sure that, you know, that you've got something that's where you're heading.
Going with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, white cabinets are definitely in. I mean, there was a while where they were definitely not in, but that's what's in, you know, today.
Right now, yes.
Yep. So that's the in thing. The next thing is something that you and I talk about a lot, Danielle, and that is having a clutter-free house.
And that is so hard to do nowadays, but it's definitely achievable.
Yeah, I mean, clutter-free, it's the easiest way to see your clutter because, you know, you don't see it.
Yeah, take a picture.
Take a picture and then look at the picture and then you'll go, oh, I don't remember that that was there, or I don't remember that that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there, you know, it's all there, that clutter. So it's like a clutter-free house is really important. And you know, the reason why it's important is because when you have clutter, that's what people concentrate on. They don't concentrate on the house. They concentrate on whatever the clutter is. And clutter can be, you know, personal items and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a teddy bear collection or something like that. If you've got overwhelming amounts of teddy bears or overwhelming amounts of anything, you know, that can be the concentration. And that's not at all what you want the concentration to be. You definitely want it to be the house and somebody expecting it to be something that they can live in themselves, as opposed to, you know, that you're going to still be there with your stuff. So clutter-free is a really big thing. The next one is staging the home. And, you know, there are professional stagers that you can get that you can actually rent furniture and everything like that. Or you can just use the furniture that you have and stage it in a way that makes sense. So that's another thing that we do and looking at that. But the most important thing that what a stager is going to do is that they're going to use one room for one purpose. And that's when we all get going and our houses get a little bit smaller and stuff like that. You know, it's like you've got the office going on in the bedroom or in the dining room or, you know, something like that. Or you've got a piece of exercise equipment in the family room or something, you know, that just gets out of place. And when you do that, you know, first of all, it makes the house seem small, even though it could be huge, because people think, well, why isn't it in its proper place? So there must not be room for that. So if you don't have the exercise equipment, you know, in the dining room, they don't think, oh, this house doesn't have an exercise room. But the second you put that exercise equipment in there, they go, oh, my gosh, you know, there's not enough room for the exercise equipment that I'm going to have and put in the corner. You know?
The other day I was showing a house and they actually had one of those bicycle ones.
Yeah.
Right next to the tub.
Oh, my gosh.
In the bathroom. Right. I've seen some weird stuff in my days, but that really threw me off. And the buyer just couldn't believe it. She was like, why in the world? I said, well, just think about it. They're working out really hard. And then all they do is get off and go right to the shower. And she was like, but why in the world would you do that? So it's definitely different that you saw. I mean, it was a big bathroom, but it was a huge bicycle right by the tub. And I just couldn't believe it. And then in their bedroom, they had an office going on. They had some other stuff going on. It was the house was just too small for what they were doing.
Did you show my house?
Well, the thing is that so you just have to definitely be aware of that. Yeah. So if you're just joining so us, funny. You're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume and Vlad Ivashko, both teammates at Frontgate Realty. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So that's clutter-free. You know, don't put your exercise bicycle next to the tub or you'll hear somebody talking about it. And then, that's staging the home, I'm sorry. And then the last one is curb appeal. And this one is so, so important because there are so many times when you're with somebody and you've made appointments to go around and look at several houses and everything, and you can pull up to a house and they can just say, nope, I don't even want to go in. Yep. And to the seller, it's, you know, it's like you don't understand it. You're like, but why don't you come in? You know, it's like, you think that it's going to be great, you know, when they get in there, and it might be, but the curb appeal when they pull up just is not their style, or they see something that they didn't like, or they see that that's in disrepair, or that there's not enough mulch. I mean, it's like, who knows what it is? Oh my gosh.
Especially when it comes to the higher end prices of houses.
Well, even the lower end houses too, it's the same thing, you know, because it's like you go there and you're like, you know, you come up and there's like three bikes in the garage, or not in the garage, but in the yard, and the little tykes, you know, car and that kind of stuff. And they're like, no, I don't really want to go in. And, you know, I mean, it just depends on what it is. And pets are another thing that you really have to be conscious of. There's nothing wrong with pets and everything like that. But I was working with a couple of weeks ago that, you know, if there was a cat in the house, they would not even go into the house. I mean, they would not even consider it. And so, you know, it's like your house is for sale, so you need to put it at mm-hmm. its best foot forward. And so there's all those things that you need to consider. Now, most people are not that way. You know, they're totally fine with animals being there. They don't want to get bitten by them, so they want to make sure that, you know, that they're protected. But you know, having animals in the house isn't necessarily a problem for most people, but for some people it is. However, I did look at a fixer-upper the other day that, you know, it's like the animals were just head run rapid in it. So it was, you know, before I went in, somebody warned me that there were different things deposited on the floor. And sure enough, there were. So it was like, okay, great. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, what you want to do is you definitely want to put your best foot forward, because obviously the one that I looked at that there were things deposited on the floor, that was significantly less than anything in the neighborhood. They were not going to get top dollar for that house in any way, shape, or form. And there were multiple other problems, you know, with that house, like a few doors missing, and the bathtub was filled with debris of the ceiling that had fallen okay. into it. So it was definitely a fixer-upper from every angle, and everywhere that the buyer looked, there was more money. So, you know, they did make an offer on what they thought a fair value of it was, and the response back was, this does not meet our minimum. And that's okay, you know, because that was not something that they were willing to, you know, go ahead to go up with it, because they had already calculated what it was going to cost to, you know, get it into shape and to be something that would be, you know, going along with the neighborhood. And they weren't looking at flipping it. They were looking at, you know, buying it and either, you know, having it for their son to live in, or they were looking to rent it out. So they weren't looking at selling it long term. They were just looking at it, what it was going to be worth to them to do it. So when you're looking at those kinds of situations, I mean, it does make a big difference. And there are some people, like that particular client, that's willing to do what you need to do to get a house into shape. And then there are other people that just don't have time, don't want to be bothered, don't want to deal with it. They just want to walk into something that's functioning. They might change things later, but today they don't want to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really comes down to put your best foot forward to make the outside of the house look really great, in my opinion. It doesn't cost that much to do.
No.
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And also we have today Vlad Ivashko, who's another one of our teammates at Frontgate. Welcome back, Vlad.
Good morning, everybody.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. And again, that's 407-566-2555. So kind of turning now to some things that are happening in the local Orlando market. And, you know, basically we've got the stats that are in from a month or so ago. And when we're looking at what's going on and everything out there, and this goes through February. And February of 2017, the interest rate was at 4.29. And February of 18, it was 4.39. So really, when you're talking about it and everybody's like, oh my gosh, the interest rates are going up. I mean, they went out up 0.1, you know, 10%, or not 10%, but 0.10%, or 0.1 is what I'm going to stick with right there. Because obviously I'm having a hard time with that. So that's kind of the interest rate is the same. The inventory is pretty similar. It's down a little bit. There were 8,400 houses on the market or properties on the market, and in 18 there are 7,700. So it's slightly down. The number that sold in 17 were 3,800, and in 18 were 3,860. So that's up a few. And so when you're looking at that and all that kind of stuff, that just goes to show you that we have, and those are new contracts, I'm sorry. And so closed in 17 was 2482, and closed in 18 are 2497.
Okay.
So a little bit different, but not too much. And the average days on the market in 17 were 69, and they were 64 in 18. So when you're looking at it, and then the median price is up a little bit, which we'll get to in a minute. But when you're looking at it, you know, our market is very consistent. So everybody say, oh, what's our season and all that kind of stuff. There's really not too much of a season when you come to think of it when it comes to Orlando home sales. It's just very consistent, you know, throughout the whole year. So it's not really like there's a time to buy and a time to sell or anything like that. It's all very consistent. There's not a lot of inventory out there. As you can see, if we're selling 2,500 and we've got 7,700 on the market, then that's roughly about a 3 month supply. And, you know, a normal market is a 6 month supply. Now, the thing that we're always talking about is that it is localized to neighborhood, and it's also localized to price point and those kinds of things. So when you're looking at and saying, you know, there's a 3 month supply and that kind of thing, in your neighborhood or your price point, or there might be way more than that, or there might be way less than that. So when we're looking at a national results of what's going on in real estate, it's usually not applicable here. And even when we're looking at Central Florida as a whole, that might not even be applicable to you either. So it's so localized that that's what it comes down to, is really, you know, looking at that. And one of the things that's interesting in the stats that's not talked about a whole lot is that under contract, that went under contract, I think it was, well, there's 5,500 that are under contract. There were new contracts of 3,200 and 2,400 closed. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that what everybody expects that when you put your house on the market or when it goes under contract, that it's going to sell. And that's not always true. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's where it takes, that's what you really need us for, when the bottom line, because when, you know, things go south or as things go cockeyed or whatever, then that's when the professionalism really comes in. And that's where we really, you know, earn our money and everything like that. And it's very rare for a transaction to not have something that goes a little sideways at some mm-hmm. point in time.
I think 9 out of 10 usually do.
Usually all of them do. Because there's a lot of people involved and human mm-hmm. factor always happens, yeah. comes in.
Yeah, and there's always a lot of stuff that happens, you know, when you're going through the process and that kind of stuff, whether something comes up on an inspection, it comes up on an appraisal, something comes up with the buyer's income, something comes up with the seller deciding mm-hmm. that they don't want to move for some reason, you know, as you're going through it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play that are unanticipated. And so you're just working through that. And usually it's not the sellers, but, you know, there was just a case that somebody was telling me about. I think it was somebody outside of our office that was telling me about somebody that the seller just decided that they didn't want to move. And so, you know, how do you handle that? Because they're under contract to do that. And what are their exposures and everything, you know, to figure that out. So I'm not an attorney to help them figure that out, but I know where to point them to the right people mm-hmm. in order to figure that out. If you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, as well as Vlad Ivashko, another teammate. And if you want to reach any of us, you can just call 407-566-2555. So when we're talking about the market and the prices and everything like that and what's happening with those, you know, basically the prices have gone up in the last year 10%, which is, you know, a little bit higher than normal. And I think that that's probably partially because when you're looking at it, some of the higher end houses mm-hmm. have started to sell. And so that raises it a little bit. The first-time buyer inventory is definitely non-existent in some neighborhoods and areas and that kind of stuff. So it's tough to find and that kind of thing. So, you know, when you're looking at it, it's a tough way to go when you're looking at the whole thing. So I'm just looking right here to see what the average price right now is. Well, that's the interest rate. I know I've got it here somewhere. New listings, new contracts, units on the market. Maybe I had it sitting right in front of me. So we'll come back to that unless Danielle finds it for me. So the average versus the median price. So the average price right now is at what? What's that up? It's too small for me to see at the moment.
Looks like it is 263.
And then the median price
is 228.
Okay. So the difference between the average and the median, when the average is quite a bit higher, then that does show that there are more high-end homes that are selling.
Mm-hmm.
And the best price to look at, I think, is the median, because that's if you lined up all roughly 2,500 homes that were sold in the month, and it's the one right in the median, in the middle.
Yep.
So that shows you, you know, that's a more accurate as far as, you know, what people can count on. So that was at 223?
228 and then 263. And that's up quite a bit from February 17 because the median was 206.
Okay.
And the average was 240.
All right.
So it has gone up quite a bit. And in all honesty, I mean, you could still find that 228 mark. You just have to go a little bit on the outskirts, mm-hmm. but not even by a lot, because I was out in Davenport yesterday and they've got some new builds out there that are starting right around that 220, 230. Great location, by the way.
240, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like a stellar house. So, not bad.
In order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com. See you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
She's sleeping at the wheel there. And also, we have Vlad Ivashko, another one of our teammates at Frontgate. Welcome back, Vlad.
Good morning, everybody.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or will buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So one of the things that I found this week that I found interesting is that, you know, the vacation homes exist a lot in Osceola and in Polk County, definitely, and mm-hmm. Lake County. Are yep. kind of where the majority of them are located. And in those counties, they're considered like one of the biggest hotels in town. If they were added all together, they'd probably be about the biggest hotel in the county, in those counties. Because, you know, and I think they're like two or three or something like that when you add up. So they contribute to the tourist tax and all that kind of stuff, you know, by people staying there by the night and everything. But one of the things that they've got on the docket for Osceola County is that they're looking into whether they would skip school fees if they're used as vacation homes. And so they're looking into it so it would reduce the taxes on those homes to not pay for schools, because obviously if it truly is a short-term rental, then obviously no one's living there going to school. And so they're looking at it. They're looking at to be the first in the state to allow vacation rental builders to forego paying construction fees to support schools. So maybe they're not going to take it off completely, but that would add the cost of new homes for full-time students that they're looking at it and considering it anyway. And so that would, you know, definitely help with the cost of that probably. And when people are looking at that, you know, I was just talking to a couple this week from England, and they're looking at that they want to have a second home here, and then they also want to have it available when they're not here, because they expect to be here about 3 to 4 months out of the year, that they would actually be able to, you know, perhaps cover their costs with it by doing a vacation home. And so we were talking about that and looking at different scenarios of other vacation homes that are in existence to see, you know, what they could expect as far as fees and income and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, it's always an interesting thing to look at, and they don't always make as much money as people expect them to, because, you know, when you do have it as a vacation home, you are paying all of the electricity and you're paying all the water. And
pool
those
maintenance, if you have a
HOA.
Pool.
HOA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all that HOA you would have to pay anyway, even if you had it long-term rental. But I looked at, you know, it's like it's always interesting to look at it, and we will do this for people where you look at those homes and see if you were to rent it out long-term, what your expenses would be and what your ROI would be versus if you would rent it out, you know, short-term and see what it is. And there's only a few places that I'm aware of that actually were built as short-term rental that don't allow you to do long-term. You know, there's only a couple of them.
A handful, yeah.
Yeah, so most of them, you know, you could go either way, which is good as a homeowner because you've got those options that you could do it one way or another. So it's like we look at the, you know, both scenarios so that you can decide, you know, what you want to do. And if you're going to rent it out long-term, then you're not going to be able to come and use it yourself for vacation.
Exactly. So.
But, you know, it does exist in that kind of thing. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume and Vlad Ivashko, both teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So what, you know, we're talking about your home's value and ways, and what we'll talk about now are cost-effective ways to raise your home's value. But one of the things that you do have to realize is that if you are in a subdivision which many people are out there, and all the houses have similar floor plans. I mean, maybe there's 10, 15, 20 in the neighborhood, but that's it. There are 10, 15, 20. It's not like there's 100 houses and every house has a different design. You know, so you are limited somewhat in what your value can go up on based on what the other houses are going for there. But there are some ways that you can raise your home's value. And one of them is adding space, because then you do make it different than the other houses that are in the neighborhood, definitely. So that's one thing that you could do. Another thing that probably would be good for yourself is to change out doors and windows, because a lot of doors and windows are not double pane. They're not energy efficient and that kind of stuff. And I know that people that do, that they're able to save on their electric bills and that kind of thing as well while they're living in the house. And it doesn't give you necessarily a whole lot of money when you go to sell it, but it will definitely make your house the top of the pile. If there were four houses just like yours, yours would definitely stand out because of those
things.
Another one is modernized plumbing. And this is something that, you know, back in the 90s, there was a pipe that was put into a lot of the houses that was called PEX, I believe. And it's some kind of polybutylene. So I might be wrong on the PEX. It's, you know.
Polybutylene, yes.
The polybutylene. So the polybutylene, what happens with that pipe is that there was a class action lawsuit. And what happens over time is that that pipe gets brittle. And so it springs leaks. So as a result of that, you know, if it's discovered in your home inspection or it's discovered that you have that, your insurance costs can go through the roof, you know, in order because of that pipe, because the insurance company knows that, you know, the chances are that at some point it's going to spring a leak. And so at that time, there could be a huge claim that you're going to have as a result of that on the house. So, you know, if you were to modernize the plumbing, your house would definitely stand out and be something that you could do that if you've got that kind of pipe.
And it's not that expensive either. I have the polybutylene piping, and I had somebody come out and give me a price quote, and it was like $3,000, like $3,500. It wasn't
With the drywall and finishing it up.
Yeah. It was everything inclusive. Yeah, because they would have had to go through the dining room.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, for patching it up and whatever. I think the only thing they said it doesn't include is the paint.
Yeah,
but that's
no,
okay.
It doesn't.
I mean, I can paint as long as you drywall it. But I thought that was pretty inexpensive. You know, $3,500. I mean, when you think about a plumbing job, you think, oh my gosh, really big dollars.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as expensive as I was
anticipating.
Exactly.
And what the way that they do it is that it's based on, you know, how many outlets you have for water. Mm-hmm. So the more bathrooms you have, you know, the more expensive it is, because you've got, you know, if you have a separate shower and tub, and then you've got the two sinks in the master bath, I mean, that's each one of those have hot and cold. So they're each another, you know, point and everything like that. So that's where it can get a little bit more pricey. But I did have a client that was buying a house, and the insurance on the house, because it had polybutylene pipe, was going to be $4,000 a year.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, when they we got a quote for them to get the pipe redone, which was in that neighborhood of $3,500 or so, $3,500 to $4,000, and it reduced their insurance to $1,200.
Holy cow!
So it was a no-brainer to go ahead and improve the cost of, you know, to do the plumbing, mm-hmm. because then they just obviously just got it out, you know, right away in the first year on their insurance, and then forever, they had that savings. So, you know, and most insurance isn't that way. Another thing that comes to, to affect right there is also the wiring. There's in some houses that were built in the 80s, there's aluminum wiring. That's a no-no as well. Catches fire. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Have a great one.
Have a good week.